بسم الله، إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، الحمد لله that everyone's here. I don't know if we met the quota. I know when it's in a classroom we get less than the house, because I think people like the coffee. But like I said, if we have a consistent of minimum of 10, we'll continue. If not, we'll have to change it back like before. I know many of you came from distances and asked. I know Hajja Nadia came from Midland, right? How far is that? 193? MashaAllah. JazakAllah khair. And some others, Saeed and his family came from Ann Arbor. And we came all the way from Dearborn. Kent. Okay. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, why I mentioned that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when you go to seek a path of knowledge, and I always remind of this hadith, because in order to get the benefit of this hadith, you have to have the intention of the hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the one who goes out to seek knowledge, the angels put down their wings for that person. Put down their wings, meaning, they protect them, they help them, they guard you. There's evil things that may happen to you in this life that the angels protect you without even knowing it. And that's what it means. The angels, the minute you left your house, you put your intention and left your house, the angels put their wings down for you. Not only that, the whales in the oceans, the little ants in their little holes, this is the hadith, authentic hadith, will make dua, ask Allah for you to forgive you from the minute you go there to the minute you come back to your house. It's a great reward. And more than that is that Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith narrated by Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, he's seen the Sahaba, and amongst them is Muawiyah, having Islamic lecture. They were talking about Islamic topic, which was the signs of the judgment day. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, by Allah, the only thing you gather here for is to the only thing you gather for here is to talk about the Quran and the Hadith. Muawiyah said, yes. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, by Allah, the only thing you gathered here is for the Quran and the Hadith. And they said, yes. And the third time, then the Prophet ﷺ said, I'm not doubting you. It's only that Allah revealed to me that He's mentioning you by your name. So now, inshallah, with the right intention, Allah will be mentioning each one of us by name. And that's an honor. What more do you want than Allah praising you among the angels and the messengers in the sky? So this is one of the benefits of this. Put aside the knowledge if you do gain any knowledge from me. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, throughout his life encouraged this, and this is what we're going to be studying today, is things that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said and related to the Sahaba, like we sit and relate to you today. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward you all for coming here, and reward every minute, and ease your hardships, and make this life better for you, and give you a higher point in the life after. Our hadith today is going to be out of a book, which is Bulugh al-Maram. By who? Oh, you don't know. It's his book, in his sujood. You know who started this class? When? You remember when? This class started here? This class started here, subhanAllah, a unique thing. About 3 years or 4 years ago, 3 or 4? 3 years ago, he went and bought his book, Firaz, and he wanted to show off his book. So we took it and started using it. And subhanAllah, we suggested it was him and a sister that recently got married. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. They suggested that we start in the book of manners. And that's exactly what we did. And we went on throughout summer, about 3 years ago, and talked about manners. And we didn't even finish it. And when we restarted this particular class, we were going to continue with manners. And it's hadith number 1282. This is, the book over here is called, Bulugh al-Maram. And this book is all you find in there is hadith. That's all there is hadith. Just like if you attended our Nawawi class, it's hadith. Who can tell me the difference between the Nawawi book and this book? Nawawi has, that's a good difference. Nawawi have 40? 42. Okay. 42. And this one has a couple hundred. What is another difference? This book is compiled by topic, by fiqh. It starts off with tahara. How do you purify yourself? Then salah, then zakah, then hajj. And it goes away all the way to the end where it starts talking about manners. 40 Nawawi, what is it? What is it? How is it compiled? Random hadith. 40 random hadith, which in Nawawi claims or says they're the axis of Islam. That's a brief history about this book. And usually, students of knowledge, this is, you know, this is not for inspiration, although inshallah we'll have a little bit of inspiration in it, but inspiration comes usually from khutab. These classes are for students of knowledge only. This book is for student of knowledge, however, it comes second after, well, if you were to come to me and say, I'm a student of knowledge, I want to study a book of hadith, what do I tell you? 40 Nawawi. Because it's 40 and it's simple. When you're done with that, we did, I think, 14 and we stopped. When you're done with that, you go to a more complex book like this one over here, which has them by category. And you know what? Wallahi al-Azim, you can't be a free student of knowledge unless you study a book like that from cover to cover. You know, people think they're sheikhs and everything around us. But if you don't study a book like that, that brings you the topics from cover to cover, from tahara all the way to salah, to hajj, to sawm, to zakat, to marital relationship, to jinayat, which is if someone kills, if someone steals, and all that. If you don't study a book like that, you're not a free student of knowledge. After this, you go to more books after that, such as Fath al-Bari, which is approximately 9 volumes or so. And then Nawawi, Sharh Nawawi on Sahih Muslim. Okay, this is going to be talking about manners. The subcategory, the main category is comprehensive. The subcategory is manners. And I'll take 3-4 minutes to mention how manners are in Islam. Introduction. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and probably this is sufficient to keep in mind, he said, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. I was sent to continue on good manners. If you know how the hadith is worded, you think that the only thing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent to was what? Manners. However, he was sent with worship, he was sent with relationship with other people, and amongst what he was sent with was manners. Why did he say, I was sent with manners in a way that you would think that's the only thing he was sent with? Show how important it is. Exactly. Like, well, who can give me another example similar to this? Another hadith. Especially those who attended Nawawi, we mentioned it. Something where he showed the example by mentioning one thing out of a fact, yet there's other matters around it. Hajj. What did he say about hajj? Hajj Nadia. Are you awake? Not yet. Okay. Al-Hajju Arafah. Hajju Arafah. What's Hajju Arafah mean? Hajj is Arafah. Arafah is one day out of the hajj. Hajj has a lot of other things. Why did he say Hajj is Arafah? To show how important that day is. But it's not the only day. So this is why the Prophet ﷺ said he was sent to continue on the good of the manner. Okay, if you look in the Quran, if you look in actually all the ibadat, nearly all of them, the pillars of Islam, who can tell me? Look in Salah. There's a ibadah aspect to it, and there's a manners aspect to it. Who can tell me the manners aspect to Salah? Or one of them? Or more than that, is that إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. Prayer is to deter you from evil manner. That's what the Prophet said, and that's what the Quran said. In fact, the Prophet ﷺ said, if the salah doesn't deter you from evil manners, you got no salah. Doesn't mean don't pray, but it means work on your salah a little bit more. But the salah comes to teach you manners. Zakat. Allah said in the Quran, خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَحِّرُهُمْ. To purify them. Purify their manners. Hajj, the same way. Every aspect in ibadah has a ibadah aspect to it, worship aspect, and on the other hand, something that relates with manners. In the Hajj, Allah said in the Hajj, Al-Hajj ashhurun ma'lumat, faman farada fihin al-Hajj fala rafata. Rafata is relationship with your woman. Wala fusuqa, something astray. Wala jidala fil-Hajj. Fusuqa is something, you know, someone comes and bumps into you, or like I always put it, you know, in Hajj, you're so crowded, are you going to stone the devil? Some guy comes, a huge 6'5" or something, and he wipes his armpit right on you. And you can't take a shower, you know, for how long? Another 4 or 5 days. You know, if it was over here, you could put up a fight or something. But in Hajj, Allah says, فَلَا رَفَثَ وَلَا فُسُوقَ وَلَا. Don't even argue. Don't even look back and say, why the heck did you do that? Don't even argue with him. Don't start a fight. And Hajj is the reality that teaches you manners, as in all ibadah. More than that, look in the Quran. Allah says about Ibrahim, in the Quran, when Ibrahim used to ask Allah about a messenger to come, which is Muhammad, he used to say, رَبَّنَا وَبْعَثْ فِيهِمْ, send a messenger, يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِكَ, to recite the verses, وَيُعَلِّمُهُمْ, teach them, وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ, وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ, وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. You know this verse is in the Quran 4 times, or similar verse to it 4 times. Ibrahim says to Allah, oh Allah, send us a messenger to teach us, teach them. The second one is to give them manners, to teach them the Quran and the wisdom, the hadith. The second one is to give them manners. See, if you memorize the Quran, you always get them messed up. Except if you know this rule that I'm going to tell you. When Ibrahim tells Allah and asks Allah, we want a messenger that purifies, that teaches these people the Quran and the wisdom and then purifies their manners, it's always teaching, then manners. When Allah replies back to Ibrahim, he says, كَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا فِيكُمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْكُمْ يَتْلُوا عَلَيْكُمْ آيَاتِنَا. What, which one comes first? Manners and then teaching. وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. So there's 4 times. 3 times Ibrahim says, teach them the Quran and the Sunnah, and then purify them. When Allah replies, it comes manners, and then after the manners, it comes teaching them. And if you look in the Quran, usually, most of the time, if not all, when Allah mentions the aspect of worship, He mentions after it an aspect of what? The manners. Worship manners. وعباد الرحمن الذين يمشون على الأرض هونا, and the servants of Allah that and the servants of Allah that walk on this earth easy going. وإذا خاطبهم الجاهلون, when the ignorant speak to you, what do you do? When the ignorant speak to you, what do you do? عليكم السلام ورحمة الله. Are you saying I'm ignorant? I said when the ignorant speak to you, you respond with what he said, but I don't think he meant that, Riyad. When the ignorant speak to you, you respond by saying salam. Salam. That's one matter. Manner. Is that manner or ibadah? Is that manner or ibadah? Manner. The second one after that, وَالَّذِينَ يَبِيتُونَ لِرَبِّهِمْ سُجَّدًا وَقِيَامًا, and those who stay up in the day and in the afternoon, سُجَّدًا, making sujood and qiyamah. What is that? Manners or ibadah? That's how the Quran is. Ibadah, manners. It's like, that's why when we say we're followers of the Sahaba, we take one side. You know, a lot of the claimers or supposed followers of the Sahaba have no manners. They took the side of Aqidah, which is great. But when it comes to manners, they have no manners. Refuting and backbiting and talking about Muslims. And if you see a Muslim, he thinks it's sunnah to give him a frown on his face and have no manners. Because they didn't give the balance of manners and ibadah side by side. And the Quran comes with the balance of manners and ibadah. When we say we're followers of the Sahaba, we take them side by side. There's many hadith on manners and how the Sahaba were. I don't want to get into that, but that's just a brief introduction. It's enough for you to know that a woman who was known to be worshipping, a very big worshipper, and she used to annoy her neighbors, be evil to their neighbors. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said she is in hellfire. Our hadith today is who wants to read it in Arabic? Rasulullah. Ayatul. Is that 3? ثلاث آية المنافق ثلاث. And like I always said, I always used to tell them in Sunday school, if you don't know the tashdeed, put a sukun on it, it's safer for you. Because that's how it is in Arabic. At the end of any word, you don't put a fatha or a kasra or a dhamma. You put a sukun on it to be safer. Just like I always mention Prince Abdullah of Saudiyah, he does it to be safe. He stops on every single word. He would say ayah, munafiq, salah. Iza, seriously, watch any speech of his. That's how he would talk. That's not right. But I'm saying, oh, if you got a sentence over here, ayat al-munafiqi thalath. Okay? The next one. Haddatha.
Ila wa'ada.
Akhlaf.
Akhlaf. Ila.
I'tumina. خان. وفي رواية خاصمة اوكي فراز read the English.
رأيت أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said there are three signs of a hypocrite: when he speaks he lies, when he makes a promise he breaks it, and when he is trusted, he betrays his trust. Al-Bukhari and the Sunnah of the Hadith of Abdullah bin Umayyad with this edition: and when he quarrels, he abuses.
You forgot to write that down. And when he quarrels, he abuses. Okay. This Hadith has four sentences to it. One of them is dealing with lying. One of them is not making the promises. The third one is betraying. And the fourth one is if you speak to someone and the argument gets deep, you don't explode on that person. So there's four. This is the only hadith we're going to get to today. I was planning on taking two, but if we get through this one before Maghrib, that'll be great. The first one, the sign of a hypocrite is three. What's the definition of a hypocrite? What is it? Exactly. We got two kinds of hypocrites. Does anyone know them in Arabic? You gotta know what a hypocrite is. Okay, we have two kinds of hypocrites. Aqadi and Amali. Which ones did you say them in English? Say them in English. Action. What's the other one? Faith. Which one of these is a kafir? Right here. No. Faith. This is the kafir right here. This is some guy who betrays the Muslim. This is some guy who's the biggest hypocrite of all time. Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Abi Salul. He's the guy who betrayed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in many times during the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's lifetime. So this is a guy who, in a situation where the Muslims are in the stronghold, he comes under the Muslims, and he claims that he's a Muslim, but in his heart, he's a liar. So that's an aspect of lying. What's an example of action? These right here. So, is he a kafir? So if some guy lies, you don't tell him you're a hypocrite, you're a kafir hypocrite. He may have an aspect of a hypocrite. In another narration over here, by Ibn Umar, another narration of this hadith, he says, four aspects of a hypocrite. He mentions these four, and he says if all four are in a Muslim, he's a total hypocrite. And if one of them is in a Muslim, he's a one-fourth of a hypocrite. One-fourth, two-fourth, three-fourth. So, yeah, if someone has all these in him, it's nearly impossible he's going to be a Muslim. If he continuously persists in lying, if he makes his, and we're going to talk about why, what promises was meant over here, and what betrayal is meant over here. It's not only promises where I tell you I'll meet you 5 o'clock and 6 o'clock, or if I tell you, look, I'll meet you here next week and I don't, it's additional to that. This hadith has behind the meaning a lot of other meanings. So the basic point, the first point in your outline, you know what a hypocrite is. Aqadi and amali. You know which one is a non-Muslim? This one. Amali is having an aspect of the hypocrite, which doesn't make you a non-Muslim. The next one is, we're going to talk about lying, and there's many points on
lying.
The first point we underline is verses and hadith from the Quran on lying. Allah said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. All you who believe in Allah, fear Allah and be with the what? The صادقين. Truthful. With the truthful. In another verse, Allah said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي مَنْ هُوَ مُسْرِفٌ كَذَّابٌ. Allah doesn't guide those who are excessive liars. In another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, truthful leads to righteousness. Righteousness leads to where? Paradise. Obvious. Righteousness leads to paradise. A person speaks the truth and continues to speak the truth until he's written with Allah that he's a truthful person. And then the opposite. Lying leads to wickedness. Wickedness leads to hell. A person lies and continues to lie until he's written in Allah's book as a liar. A unique hadith the Prophet ﷺ said, in all his hadith are unique, is that a trait a Muslim will never have is a liar. He was asked one time, does a Muslim commit adultery? He said, yes. Does the Muslim drink? Yes. Does a Muslim lie? He said, no. There's plenty of other hadith. That should be sufficient. Now let's take the kinds of lies. Kinds of lies. Or types of lies. What's the biggest lie you can make? Speak up. What is it? About Islam, your faith. Lying upon Allah. Any type of lie upon Allah. That's the first one under the kinds of lies. A lie upon Allah. Allah says, وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ افْتَرَى عَلَى اللَّهِ كَذِبًا. Who's a bigger oppressor than who lies upon Allah? Allah says, وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ تَرَى الَّذِينَ كَذَبُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ وُجُوهُهُمْ مُسْوَدَّةِ. On the judgment day, you see those who lie upon Allah, their face are blackened. How do you lie upon Allah? Give me an example. Associating a partner with Allah. Another example. I didn't write all of them, but maybe after class I can get to them. Or you can email me and I'll give you all the numbers. وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةَ تَرَى الَّذِينَ كَذَبُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ. That's at the end of Surah Ibrahim. Okay. One of them is examples is claiming Allah has a son or claiming Allah has a partner. Another example is claiming you're a messenger. If I claim I'm a messenger of Allah, that's lying upon Allah. What's a more practical example of lying on Allah? That could be, but a more very practical one that a lot of people fall into. And they don't know it's lying. What is it? That's the next one. This is Allah. Lying upon Tawheed. Yes, that is a general category of lying upon Allah, like saying he has a son. That's lying about the attributes of Allah. It's a practical one. That falls under, all this falls under this, but I want to say, a lot of Muslims fall into and they don't know. Speaking about Allah without knowledge. Allah called it a lie in the Quran. وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَا تَصِفُ أَلْسِنَتُكُمُ الْكَذِبَ. Don't listen to those evil tongues who are speaking in lies. The ones who say, هَذَا حَلَالٌ وَهَذَا حَرَامٌ. Just like I always tell you, put on any email list, is this haram or is this halal? Everyone is going to have their input. Is music haram or is music halal? Everyone is a sheikh. Is this haram or is this halal? Everyone is a sheikh. However, when you come to ask them a legal question or a medical question, they tell you go to a doctor. Allah said about these people, their tongues are liars. In Subhanallah, the verses worded as though people are talking today. هذا حلال وهذا حرام. Don't listen to those liars who all they say هذا حلال وهذا حرام. They're liars because they're ignorant, and speaking about ignorance in Islam falls under this, and it could take someone out of the border of Islam. The second one, the second kind of lie is what? What? Hajjanadi, you said it. Lying on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Lying upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the best example is fabricating hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, who wants to tell me the hadith about fabricating hadith? I wrote it down in Sunday school. Who remembered? That's it. Hajjanadi, even though you're whispering, من كذب علي متعمدا, whomever lies upon me on purpose, and there's another hadith without متعمدا on purpose, let him know that he has a spot reserved for him in hellfire. Do you know part of this that a lot of people fall into is just hearing a hadith from someone who's not reputable, and the hadith turns out to be weak or fabricated. And what happens to you? You end up lying on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam without even knowing it. I say, wallah, I heard this guy say it and this guy. And I know that guy may not be reputable, or he's not among the people who are assured to take hadith, who are strong. They take strong and weak, and you go and spread that hadith, you lie on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The third one, the third type of lie we have, what is it? It's obvious. We don't need rocket scientists to figure it out. Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the believers, the Muslim believers. And amongst that is, for example, lying about a Muslim to say you're a kafir. I see this guy's a kafir and he's not a kafir. My punishment is I'm a kafir. You're a Jew, you're a Khawarij, you're a Mu'tazila. I put something in you that's not right. That's in reality a lie. That could throw you out of Islam. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, whomever calls his brother a kafir, one of the two is a kafir. And another hadith explains who it is, the one who called the other one a kafir. Another one is to spread a big lie about your brother. And this Surah An-Nur is all about that. The next one is talking behind his back or in front of him. And of course, spreading a lie in front of, is it worse or behind the back? What is it called? What's the term called if I am over here, Imran al-Din is not here today? If I say Imran al-Din is evil for not showing up today, what did I do just now? What did I do? Now? No. No. What is it? It's buhtan. It's buhtan. If I say Imran al-Din, I don't want to say nothing. I'm afraid I'll get sin. But if I say Imran al-Din did so and so, and it's true, that's ghiba. If I say he's evil for not showing up today, he's not evil. I did buhtan. That's the difference between ghiba and buhtan. Buhtan is way more severe than ghiba. All this fall under the lies to the believers. The fourth type of lie is general lie. General lie. And this includes believers, non-believers, and subcategories we're going to talk about right now. So the first one is lie on Allah, lie on the messenger, lie on the believer. General lies, and subcategory of general lies is matters people overlook. Matters people overlook. Lies. Let me say lies that people overlook. The first one is someone who wants attention. I want my kids' attention. So I say, hey, come here. I got $5 for you. Is that haram or no? Is that haram or no? No, Nadia? Hajj Nadia? Okay, I promised and didn't. I just wanted him to come here.
If you don't have it,
it's not a lie? Exactly. Okay. Well, if you don't, if you don't give that, you don't fulfill your promise, it's a lie and it's a sin. There's a specific hadith about it. You know, we're not here to, actually I'll mention this after I mention the next point. There's a hadith by Amir radiallahu anhu. It's in Sunan Abu Dawud, Abdullah ibn Amir. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to visit his mother, and he narrates this hadith because he remembers it as a little boy. He said, the Prophet came to visit my mother, and I was there, and she said, come here, I'm going to give you this. The matter that she's going to give him is not mentioned. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, are you going to give it to him? And she did give it to him. She said, if you would not have gave it to him, it would have been considered a lie. That's the hadith in Sunan Abu Dawud, narrated by Abdullah ibn Amir, radiallahu anhu. The next one people overlook, so that's getting attention. You know, Bukhari, rahimahullah, used to travel to distances to get a hadith. And if he, one time he seen a guy, he traveled for a long period of time to get a hadith from him. And he seen the guy telling his donkey, he's gesturing his donkey as to that he has food in his hand so the donkey can come to him. And he didn't have nothing in his hand. So Bukhari seen that and went right back. He didn't take the hadith from him. That constitutes defamation of character for that person, which that shows you why Bukhari so it held the son of high regard. Because that constitutes a lie. Someone who lies has no credibility. Someone who has no credibility, we can't narrate a hadith from him. So gaining people's attention on a lie is haram and considered a lie. The second one is to speak. What category are we talking about? Did we go? What kind of, where are we in our outline? Under what does that fall? Under, I know it's underlined. This whole topic is underlined. We talked about verses. Look at your outline. I want you to organize your outline because I don't go through a lot of preparation and then this goes in vain. Inshallah, every one of you going to teach this in the future. Verses and hadith about lying. We talked about hypocrite. What a hypocrite is. Verses and hadith about lying. Then the kinds of lies. We said kinds of lies. A, lies on Allah. Lies on the Prophet. Lies on the believers. General lies. Under general lies, I mentioned lies that people overlook. The first one is to get people's attention. The second one is hearing anything, spreading anything you hear. I'm sitting in a gathering here, and I go out and spread something that I'm not sure is authentic. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, كَفَى بِالْمَرْءِ كَذِبًا أَنْ يُحَدِّثَ بِكُلِّ مَا سَمِعَ. It's sufficient for a person to be considered a liar by, he's not really a liar. You know all he did? Well, I heard. Well, this sheikh did this. Well, this guy did this. Well, this sister did this. How do you know? Brother, I don't have, it's not my business. I just heard it. You're a liar. Because you don't have the proof. You're considered a liar. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, كَفَى بِالْمَرْءِ كَذِبًا أَنْ يُحَدِّثَ بِكُلِّ مَا سَمِعَ. The third one, who wants to mention, tell me the third one. Firaz, you should tell me that one. Because that was one of the first questions you ever asked me in your life. Yes. Joking. See, he remembers the good old days. He asked me that about 4 or 5 years ago. Joking about a lie. Lying when you joke. What's the proof on that? Never lied, that's for sure. Never lied about a joke as well. But give me some solid proof. You know it, Firaz, because you asked me and you asked another chef. And that chef told you yes, I told you no. And then you came back to me for proof, right? I don't know the authenticity of that. I heard it and I wanted to check it, but I don't know the authenticity of that. But there's a hadith over here where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Waylun lilladhi yuhaddith fayakdhib. Waylun la, waylun la, waylun la." Woe to that who speaks and lies as a joke to make people laugh. Woe to him, woe to him, woe to him. Woe is either woe, he's going to get a severe punishment, or a valley in hell. That hadith is in Musnad Ahmad, Abu Dawood, and Tirmidhi. The Prophet ﷺ said in another hadith, I guarantee a place in the middle of heaven, palace, in the middle of heaven, for someone doesn't lie when he jokes. You know why? Because when you're in a gathering, you want people to laugh at you. It's hard to restrain yourself. Because you get a lot of attention, you get the laughter of the people. But the Prophet ﷺ deterred from that. See, one time I wrote an article about this. You remember? And it caused, the people went crazy. Some people went crazy about this. We joke, and we like to joke. And the Prophet ﷺ joked. Did I mention in the article jokes that the Prophet ﷺ did? You know, he joked, but all his jokes were in truth. We have our limits. We can't go on beyond our limit. We don't say don't ever joke. We say it's great to joke, and it's nice to joke, and you need jokes. And the Prophet ﷺ did joke, and the people laughed at his jokes. But you don't go beyond that and say joking is haram. And you don't go above that and say all joking is okay. We have a limit. Joke in that which is truthful. Who wants to tell me a joke by the Prophet ﷺ? Stop there. Isn't that a lie? Didn't the Prophet tell him that? Why? Because no one goes to heaven all. So that, we're going to get to that. There's a section on that we're going to talk about and how the Prophet ﷺ said something like that. She thought something and he thought something else. And he was thinking something else. Ridwan. Oh, that's the only joke that you know about the Prophet ﷺ? One of them is that the Prophet ﷺ, someone came to the Prophet before a battle and he told him, I need a ride. And the Prophet ﷺ said, we'll give you the son of the camel to ride on. He said, what am I going to do with the son of the camel? What did he think? He thought the Prophet was going to give him a baby camel. All camels are sons of camels. All human beings are sons of Adam. So he was going to give him a regular camel, but he wanted to make a humor. And look how unique that is. Before they're heading to a battlefield. So the Prophet ﷺ was humorous at times where they needed that. Okay. Now take another subcategory B. Lies that people usually don't consider them as a lie. Lies that people generally don't consider as lies. The first one is exaggeration. And according to most scholars, exaggeration is usually haram. That's like someone coming to me and I tell them, I called you a million times. And you called him three times or four times. Did you call him a million times? You did it. That's a lie. Most scholars consider that type of exaggeration haram. Some say exaggeration is permitted to a certain limit. Both agree that it's deterred from because this kind of exaggeration leads by all means to lie. That's different. That's probably different. You know, give me a hadith. I think if you say alf alf, you probably mean the terms like alf alf. Alf alf doesn't mean a large number. It means a million. Alf alf back, they didn't have the number 1 million. So the Sahaba would refer to it as alf alf. But they didn't mean exaggeration. They meant the number alf alf. But that's a recommendation. He's not talking about a fact that happened. A fact. I'm telling you, go and give Firaz 70 excuses. I'm not saying, oh, you did give him 70 excuses. Had I said you gave him 70 excuses when you didn't, that would have been exaggeration. No, it means give him excuses as much as you want. That's permissible exaggeration. Why? Because it's not based on a fact. You understand? It's not that I didn't say Uthman gave Firaz 70 excuses. And you only give him 2 excuses or 5 excuses. No. If it's based on a fact, then it would be considered the deterrent kind of exaggeration. Okay. The next one is, how many do we take under B? The next one is to say, I don't desire this when you really desire it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam one time gave Aisha some food and she refused it because she was shy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And she was also with other women. So the Prophet ﷺ said, give the other women with you. And they refused it as well. Why did they refuse it? Why? Politeness, but, yeah, you're right. Shy from the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ and from Aisha. So the Prophet ﷺ deterred him. He said, hungry and liars. He said, don't combine, his exact word, لا تجمعوا بين الكذب والجوع. Don't combine with lying and being hungry. Well, you know, when I get to Tawriya and Ta'riyah, then inshallah probably explain this. If you said, there's a difference between saying I'm not hungry and saying I don't want it. Or I'll eat later. Or I'll take it, you know, when I go to Uthman's house, they always have the spicy food. So I kindly tell his father, I'll eat later. I'll eat later. If there's a difference between saying I'm not hungry, I don't want it, and there's a difference between saying I'll eat later, or using another term, which doesn't constitute a lie. Are you not going to eat later?
Oh,
for sure you're going to eat later. Leave those details, because when I get to Tawriyas, all your answers on those are going to be, inshallah, answered. The next one is I saying, you coming and asking me a certain question. And I say, Allah's my witness, I never did this. That's not only a lie, that's also kufr. According to most scholars. And according to others, it's a major sin. Who can tell me why it's kufr? We asked Firaz, why didn't you book a room last week? And he says, Allah is my witness, I tried. And he never went nowhere. No, that's not kafir. If he said, Wallahi, I tried, and he lied, it's a major sin for sure by all scholars. But when you say, Allah is my witness, that I tried, and you're a liar, why are you a kafir, according to a large group of scholars? Because you're attributing ignorance to Allah. You're attributing, you're saying Allah is my witness. You're saying, you're trying to defame Allah's knowledge, and that goes to the deficiency in the names and attributes of Allah. Allah knows everything. You're claiming a deficiency to the names, to the attributes of Allah. Rabi' ibn Khuthaym, a big tabi'i, said, this is the biggest of all big sins. This matter is the biggest of all sins. You know why? Did Allah not know the truth? Did Allah not know you didn't try? You're saying, Allah knew I tried. Even though you may not mean it, your words are sufficient. You're accounted for your words. When you say, Allah is my witness, that I tried, and you didn't try, doesn't Allah know you didn't try? Then why are you saying Allah knows you tried in a lie? Am I clear? Okay, as long as Firaz is the only one who doesn't understand, I don't care. The next one after that is to attribute yourself to other than your father. And that is an epidemic in our life today. How so? Change your name when you get married. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith of Sahih al-Bukhari, "A'zamul kadhib," the biggest of all lies, is that a man attributes himself to other than his father, or speak of that which he never seen in his dream. No, it's not. It's not disputed by any reputable scholar other than the modernist. Not disputed at all. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. If you say, who can reply to his concern? Yes. You have to say it's only for a man, you have to bring us an exception. In another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, one who attributes himself to other than his family is cursed. مَلْعُونٌ مَنْ انْتَسَبَ إِلَى غَيْرِ أَبِيهِ. So a woman who attributes herself to other than, like I always say, sometimes you need it for immigration work or something like that. You may have an excuse to do it temporary. But just as a ritual, this is a ritual that came to us from the non-Muslim. Because if you go to our countries back some time ago, before the Westerners influenced them, there was no wife who attributed herself to her husband. Is that why? See how we give a woman her right? Did you hear what Ahmed said? Ahmed said it's because the husband is a form of owning the woman, he changes the name. We, alhamdulillah, in Islam, we don't talk like that. Okay, now the next point, totally different point off of this, is some of the what the Sahaba and Tabi'een used to think about lying. The first one is a man called the Rabi' ibn Khuthayn. Who knows the Rabi' ibn Khuthayn? We mentioned him so many times. He's a big scholar. This is the guy, I don't know if you attended some of the khutab I mentioned. This is the guy who was very bad in his jahiliyyah. He was in Medina. In his jahiliyyah, he was a big womanizer. And Rabi' ibn Khuthayn decided that by the will of Allah, Allah guided him. And people were surprised at how this big womanizer all of a sudden turned into a good believer. He used to go on the outskirts of Medina and pray all night long in an abandoned house. So they paid a prostitute to go and get a kiss out of him. One kiss. They said, this bag of money is for you if you get a kiss out of a Rabi' ibn Khuthayn. She said, she took it as an intimidation. She says, you think I can't get a kiss out of a Rabi' ibn Khuthayn? I'll get more and more and more from him. And she went to him in seclusion. And she took her clothes off in the area where he used to worship. And he told her, fear Allah, woman. Remember the day when your eyes will turn into dust. You remember when your face will turn into so and so. And he kept forewarning her about the judgment day. She took her clothes and ran, screaming. She turned out to be just as good of a worshiper as he is. That's Rabi' ibn Khuthayn. He was in Medina. He became a big scholar. We mentioned him already just in this topic two times. Where's the other time we just mentioned him? I just mentioned him. Who's taking notes? What about? What's the biggest of all sins? Yeah. When I mentioned attributing La as saying Allah knows I didn't do this, it was a Rabi' ibn Khuthayn narrated by his sister that says it's the big of all lies. And we mention him here again. A Rabi' ibn Khuthayn one time had a son who was ill. And he was like in an area where the physicians were taking care of him in Medina. Like a hospital. Like what today's a hospital. Him and his sister walked in. His sister ran to the baby and told to the son, to Rabi' ibn Khuthayn's son, and said, how are you feeling, oh my dear son? Rabi' ibn Khuthayn told her, don't lie. Say, oh my nephew, in the Arabic terms, oh my nephew. Even though she didn't really mean my son, but Rabi' ibn Khuthayn was so strict on this matter that he took it to mean a lie. He said, say my nephew. Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib radiallahu anhu, or rahimahullah, Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib, a sahabi or tabi'i? What's a tabi'i, what's a sahabi? What's a sahabi? What's the definition of a sahabi? Seeing how many times you have to see the Prophet? Once. Once is sufficient according to Ahl Sunnah. You see the Prophet ﷺ once and you die a Muslim, that's it. You're going to be in heaven 100%. No, don't tell me he did this and he did that. We don't care. Because he's going to be in heaven. What's a tabi'i? Sa'a sahaba. Tabi'i is the ones who seen sahaba. What are we? We're nothing. we're tabi'. If you want to tell what we are, we're tabi'in. Meaning we're followers of the tabi'in, and of course of the sahaba. There's a tabi'i, another tabi'i named Rabi' ibn Harrash. He was at a time where there was an oppressive leader named Al-Hajjaj. Al-Hajjaj used to, if anyone, just like our leaders today, if you're against the government, they take you and execute you. That's how Al-Hajjaj was. So Al-Hajjaj heard that Rabi' ibn Harrash had two sons who were rebellious and against the government. And one thing about Rabi' ibn Harrash is he never lied. So his sons were out of town and they came to visit. And he took his men, Al-Hajjaj's men, took Rabi' ibn Harrash and said, where's your sons? They're doomed to be executed by Al-Hajjaj. And he told them exactly where they were because he didn't want to lie. When they took him, look how at the end your truthfulness saves you. They told Al-Hajjaj, who's a tyrant and oppressor, but he's a Muslim. You know, Al-Hajjaj, he was a tyrant and oppressor and he killed even some of the remains of the Sahaba. But that's not kufr. That is, you know, oppression. It doesn't take him. But when we heard of a woman being oppressed in any part of the world, we would send out an army. In his time, a ship was hijacked. And in that ship was a woman who was taken. And when Al-Hajjaj, the tyrant that used to kill his own people, heard about that, he sent an army to rescue that woman. So Al-Hajjaj was going to doom these acts to be executed. When his men told him what his father did, what their father did, he released them and let them go. But the point of the story is, look how truthful he was, even though he knew his two sons were going to be killed. Malik ibn Dinar, rahimahullah, said, whomever lies, his punishment in hellfire is that Allah will burn, will cut his tongue with scissors from hell. Every time it gets cut, it grows back again, and then Allah will cut it again and again. Umar radiallahu anhu said, stay with the truth, even if it's gonna kill you. By the way, that issue we talked about, the one I told you where you can't attribute yourself to other than your father, another saying that I mentioned, I gave you two hadith. A third one is that the Prophet ﷺ said, the biggest of all lies is someone attributing himself to other than his father. أعظم الفرا أن ينتسب الرجل إلى غير أبيه. What's firya? Firya is a broader, write that down. Firya is a broader form of lying. What's lying in Arabic? Kadhib. If it's a huge lie, you call it firya. If it's a huge lie, it's firya. If it's a regular lie, it's kadhib. The Prophet ﷺ said, the biggest of all firyas is to attribute yourself to other than your father. The next point we have, what time is it? Okay, the next point is a few unique ways to treat lying. The first way to treat lying, we take them fast, is you recognize the severe punishment of Allah for those who lie. Amongst that is that you're considered by Allah a liar and a hypocrite. The second point is to take responsibility. A problem with lying is that people lie when they don't want to take responsibility for your actions. And I'm going to mention stories on how people took responsibility in truthfulness and it saved them from their matter. The next point is leave gatherings of vain talk. Vain talk. Because you know, if you're in a gathering, especially teenagers, and they're going to sit and talk and talk, and everyone's going to bolster upon about himself or about others or about a situation that happened, it's going to end up with lies for sure. So leave setting of vain talk and lies. Every time you talk, know that Allah writes down through the angel every word you say. If you keep that in mind, and you truly keep that between your eyes, you're not going to say nothing that is going to be sinful. Keep in mind when you talk that lying is evil and wicked. And wickedness and evilness lead you to hell. Raise your children with the Islamic value of not lying. What's one of the best ways of raising your child and teaching them not to lie? I think, anyone want to suggest? I think, Hajja Nadia, why don't you tell us how we raise our kids without lying? That's one way. One other way. Fear Allah, you gotta instill that. I think one of probably the best ways is all children make mistakes, right? If they make a mistake and come to you and tell you the truth, you tell them because you said it's going to be some severe punishment. You tell them because this time you said the truth, you're free to go. They're never going to lie again. They're going to come and tell you everything. That's probably one of the ways of teaching them not to lie. Okay, our next point. Who wants to tell me the outline so far? Who wants to tell me the outline? Firaz. Hypocrite. Go ahead. Next one. Next one. Kinds of lies. What are the kinds of lies? A, B, C, D. Lies on Allah, lies on the Prophet, lies on the believers, lies on general lies. Then under D, we took another one and two, which is lies people overlook. Next one. Things people don't consider as lies. The next one. How to treat lions. No, before that we took Sahaba saying or their doings on lions. And then the last one we took was how to cure lions. Now, Nate, take the next point, which is called Tawriya aw Ta'rid. Who wants to tell me what Tawriya and Ta'rid are? That's the definition. You say something, you understand something, and I really mean something else. I think one of the most unique examples is this right here. I'm going to give you examples. First thing, we're going to start with examples on this so you can better understand it. Wallahi ma indi malak. Hajja Nadia, translate that. No, read it. What did I just say? Any language. All we understand there is if you want an Urdu, Uthman will understand. In Arabic, ba comes for two things. What Hajja Nadia said, Wallahi, I don't have your wealth. That's what it says over here. Ma, I don't have your wealth. That's when it comes as a nafiyah. In Arabic grammar, it's nafiyah.